Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And Bob, it's deer season. There's a little bit of snap in the air in the mornings now. We got rid of the summer weather, and we're in the mood, man. You look like your neck's swelling a little bit, and you might be coming into the rut.
I'm getting a little musky.
Yeah, right, exactly. But so we've got one of our friends of the show on the live line.
That's right, and this song, when you play Fred Bear, I'm pretty convinced that when Uncle Ted wrote this, he was either thinking Babe Winkleman or Fred Bear, and he flipped a coin, and Fred won. On the live line right now is Babe Winkleman. How are you, Babe?
Good morning. I just heard a little Fred Bear music by Nuge. I was supposed to play with Nuge in Minneapolis, do that song a number of years back when he was opening for Kiss. And then they had a tornado hit the airport in Indianapolis, and Kiss couldn't get out of town, so the concert was canceled in Minneapolis for Wednesday night and held on Thursday night, and I was out of town on Thursday, so well, I never did get to do it.
Well, in your stead, I mentioned that to him and told him he still owed you one gig like that, and he promised that if he got in your area, he'd do it, so we'll see if he holds up. But anyway, what's more important is we have to find from the Obi-Wan Kenobi of hunting and fishing some whitetail secrets. So okay. What's the average mistake? What's the average guy do for a mistake? And what are some, like, the top three things you could say to help the typical whitetail hunter?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I guess no matter what, play the wind. Unless you've got an ozonics unit or something that will completely eat your scent. You play the wind. Period. Their noses are so much better than we can imagine that you about can't fool them with anything else. Secondly, coming into the rut, they need to spend a bunch of time understanding the rut. Everybody thinks it takes a cold snap in November to trigger the rut. The rut starts in September and goes September, October, November, December. Sometimes, almost always, at least in our part of the world, it'll go into January some too. One year I seen it go till the 26th of February. But it's not something that happens in the 2-week period. And the cold snap has nothing to do with the rut. The cold snap has everything to do with the deer. When they get their winter coats at the end of September there, in early October, everybody talks about the bucks go completely nocturnal and freak out and go off by themselves. No, it's just that winter coat is so warm for them that they don't move during the day, and they do all of their movement at night because it's the only time it's cool enough.
Makes a lot of sense.
When the rut, in a perfect world, 15% of the does will be bred in September and October. In a perfect world, 70% will be bred in November, and the rest will be bred in December, and that's when they will start also breeding the young fawns from this year that are only the ones that were first born from the oldest does. The ones that are born from small does later on will not get bred that first year. Almost not, ever.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's what happens in December. If it is warm in November, the does lay down during the day, and the bucks lay down with them. Because the does have the same problem keeping cool that the bucks do. If it's cold out, then they will rut 24 hours a day, and that's where we see them running around and chasing and doing their thing. If it is warm out during that same period, they're doing 100% of that at night. Here's what it means, though. It means that because they're restricted only to night to be able to do the rutting activity, maybe they get 10 hours in. That means that there's 14 hours of the day that they didn't get rutting activity in, and they will not get near as many does bred in the month of September or month of November that way because they're restricted to less than half of the time in the day. Consequently, now more of those does go unbred in November. They come back into heat in December. and the December rut will be a lot stronger. And you may very well see the deer chasing and freaking out and so forth during December than if the weather is cool enough. If not, they're still going to do it at night. They need to understand how this works for the deer. Everybody wants it to be cut and dried. Or 2 weeks in November, I mean, the second week, third week in November, that's when they rut, and if it's cold, they're great. No, that's not the case.
Otherwise, in South Carolina, they'd never breed.
Pardon?
Otherwise, in South Carolina, they'd never breed.
Well, they don't get winter coats down there, probably. You know what I mean?
They don't have to get the kind of coats that ours do to make it through 40 below zero. They don't have anything like that there. You know, nature's got a check and balance for everything. No matter where you are in the world, there's a perfect ecosystem and balance between plants and animals there for that climate, that geography, that food supply, that everything.
If you just turned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're talking with Babe Winkleman right now about some whitetail secrets and some suggestions. Tell us, why do they disappear right? You know, you'll see them and you'll see them and you'll see them, and then they're just gone.
When is this?
Like, typically halfway through bow season, they just, you know, you'll be seeing bucks, and then, like, right about the time that you think the rut is should be hot and heavy, the bucks seem to just disappear.
Well,
especially if you got trail cams and you see them go into the food plots, and then they just vanish.
Well, when it's time to mate, that takes precedence over food for the bucks and for the does.
Not in my house.
Everybody talks about the bucks herd the does into certain areas to breed them. That's absolute bull. The does lead the bucks to where they want to be bred at. And they oftentimes have certain places where they go, particularly the older does. Some of those does, they had one they were tracking here in Minnesota that would live in Camp Ripley and in the winter months. And then in spring, she would go 90 miles away up by Leader, and she would do her fawning up there. She would raise her fawns that entire summer up in that area. And then in late fall, early winter, she would come all the way back down to Camp Ripley, and that's where she would stay. That was 90 miles one way. And that deer lived to be 19 years old. They had a radio collar on her for 11. Those older does run the show.
That's for sure.
When the first old doe comes into heat, I have seen at my own ranch as many as 7 adult bucks on one doe. I was the first one that had come into heat. I know another guy that runs a big parcel of land. He's the only person who has been inside of it. It's a 10,000-acre block. He's the only person who's been inside of it for 24 years. No other humans are allowed in there. He takes the same old pickup every time. All the deer know him. The does have never been hunted in their life. They're friendly. And when his oldest doe was missing and he found her fawns, he knew she had 3 primary spots where she went to be bred, but one was she used more often than not. So he sat up there in a lookout situation. When he found her, she had 13 bucks with her. The smallest was about 140, and the biggest was nearly 200. 13 big adult bucks with one doe, because that was the only one in heat yet.
Mm. Wow.
You know, so
sounds like a good night at the bar.
Well, a hell of a night at the bar, but the thing of it is, there's a lot of things going on with the critters out there that the people don't understand, because they want it to be so simple and cut and dried. And nature and the way it works is not. It's all based on survival of the fittest, and everything they do is instinctively driven for that one cause and one cause only.
Well, buddy, we're out of time, but would you come back in November?
Yes, I sure would.
Great.
We've got some exciting things I want to tell people, too. Our sunglasses, by the way, are up. There's a really good bait shop in Grand Rapids called Allen Bob's. They should be carrying them. I'll have the people get in touch with them. But, I mean, that's like the tackle shop and sporting goods store of the Grand Rapids
it
area.
Is.
You probably know
yeah,
that.
The owner manager is here with us. Merle's here with us right now. So thanks for that. That's awesome. Babe, we are going to reach back out to you in a couple weeks, and I'm going to have to do a review on those sunglasses because mine are in the bottom of that lake in the UP, as you recall. So let's check in a couple weeks. Godspeed to you, pal, and thanks for taking
okay.
time.
Let me tell you two last things if you get 30 seconds.
Go ahead.
First off, our glasses, there's nothing like them out there. These are 100% ASNI certified safety glass. You cannot break them. A lure comes back and hits that glass. There is zero chance that it'll break the glass and drive the glass and the lure into your eye. It will 100% protect your eye. Secondly, it's almost like looking at the world with high definition. They're so crystal clear. You've got to try them to find out. Thirdly, we have some new stuff coming up on our website. We have an e-commerce site there right now. People can go to our site and buy the glasses and buy other products from other companies as well. And we have a tick-borne illness information center. It will be the biggest, largest one in America that will be up on our website within a few weeks.
Okay.
The scheduled date is November 1st for release. If we hit that exactly or not, I don't know.
Well, let's talk in a couple weeks, and I'll catch up with you sometime next week, and we'll plot this out.
Okay, the only time you're going to catch me now is about the second week in November. We have deer season here, and I've taken it off of the road. The rest of the time, I'm going to be gone filming, man.
Okay, bud. Thanks so much.
Okay, have a great day.
Give Chrissy a hug.
Hello, Merle.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Babe Winkleman. He's always a wealth of information, and boy, you get him wound up, it's a good thing. We so appreciate him tuning in. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Was I alone or in a hunter's dream? 'Cause the moment of truth was here and now.